Now, Mike Leach will tweet on you. Some of them are quite funny. Some of them make absolutely no sense. But if you followed Mike Leach for long enough, you know Mike Leach has some hot opinions about just about everything. Not just, the way that college football works or the way media works. He's got hot opinions on everything. Mike Leach last week tweeted an image that depicted an elderly woman with knitting sticks in her hands. The caption read, "After 2 weeks of quarantine with her husband, Gertrude decided to knit him a scarf." Except the black and white image depicted Gertrude, the old woman, knitting a noose. Now, devoid of all context, this is a classic boy pow zing sin yada to the moon. What was the honeymoon? Like, it's a just a devoid of all context. It's a doesn't being around your spouse suck.
Yeah, I hear you.
The context is that you're the head coach in Mississippi, and you did not stop to think, boy, I might have some players on this team who had actual family members lynched in, like, I don't know, the last 100 years.
Okay, I see where you're going there.
And he's already had a
So
couple.
just the noose itself.
You just don't make jokes
If
involving the noose, yeah.
it were something else, if they were knitting an electric chair
A sophomore defensive
somehow.
tackle named Fabian Lovett has already entered the transfer portal.
Because of that, just because there's just the depiction of a noose.
His father spoke with a local newspaper and says, "I didn't feel comfortable with my son being down there with a guy like that from a leadership standpoint. You can't just throw anything out there. I feel like if he thinks he can do it, the kids are going to feel like they can do it." For their part, Mississippi State has not only made Leach apologize, but they have also said that they will be asking Leach to take listening classes and that they will be he will be taking basically civil rights tours, a guided tour of the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum and the Mississippi Museum of History when the museum is back open.
I'm not sure what to say here because I want to say, come on. But I don't have the point of view, I suppose, required to do that. Like, it's like that. Obviously, I would say Mike Leach is not racist at all. I don't know him or anything, but it just seems, he doesn't seem like that was consciously in his head at all. Like, I'm thinking of the old man announcer. I think he was OKC, who just said, "Wait a cotton picking minute," or something like that.
He said Russ Westbrook is out of his cotton picking mind right now, and
Okay,
Russ Westbrook was playing really well.
and that just feels like that's just some old timey phrase that I don't think about how it came about. And then if you stop and think, then you might, oh, that could be calling him a slave. Because he's picking cotton, although you could also say many other people pick cotton. I don't know. Right? Like, I just felt like when that guy was fired and Russ said, yeah, he should be fired, it seemed like pretty extreme. And then this also seems extreme. Like, certainly Mike Leach did not mean this to be directed at black people in the state that he's now in. Like, he would have tweeted that same thing had that struck him as funny when he was Washington State's head coach.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the thought of, well, if one person is offended, then it's an offensive thing. And clearly at least one person was. But
Yeah,
then it's, am I supposed to say, but they shouldn't be?
it's
Because that's what
tough.
I would think in my head. They shouldn't be.
Right, but then
Like, come
that
on,
person
bro.
tells you their story, and the story of their
But
family, and it's tough for you to say, well, I mean, I guess it's just a matter of your personal perspective. I'd heard out of your cotton picking mind my whole life and never associated it
with
with slavery,
black, white,
but
anything.
I've never seen a noose in my life, in my adult life, and not thought, boy, that's a touchy image right there because that represents lynchings,
I
So
never, see,
that's
I
just
did not,
me.
I didn't grow up thinking that. A noose was just always this really cool knot that I wish I could have created myself. Certainly, you think of it with hangings,
Yeah.
But I never thought of it with lynchings because we've had hangings.
You know, executions.
Executions, yeah.
Well,
that's interesting.
If nothing else.
So if she had knitted a guillotine, that'd have been cool, right?
A real feat of physics, one, and two, yes. I think he probably would have gotten away with that. But if nothing else, and we'll get to whether or not we're going to have football and what that all means here in a minute, it's going to be a wild-ass ride having Mike Leach in the SEC because we're kind of divorced from it a little bit here in, you know, Texas and Big 12 country.
It was great having him here.
We're not Feinbaum, but, dude, that's possibly the most fervent sports fan base, that 7 or 8 state grouping. And to have Mike Leach and to now have, Lane Kiffin back in the mix and at Ole Miss, I mean, we are poised for some insanity. If he can just hold on for a few years and not tweet anything else that harkens back to, you know, Jim Crow or something.
Probably staying off Twitter, like.
Yeah.
Like your lane, I guess. But his lane is comedy, kind of.
Right.
As far as from all head coaches, you would say he's one of the top 5 comedic head coaches there are out there. Well, so if I was to say stick to sports or stay in your lane, but this is his lane.
Yeah, and it probably has helped him, you know, recruiting and the like. One guy who's not going to have a problem with that, today on Instagram Live in an interview with, I believe, ESPN's Maria Taylor, although she might not be there anymore, but Alabama head coach Nick Saban said that one positive of the COVID-19 pandemic is that he has an email now. He said, quote,
because he never used to communicate that way.
They were sending them all to Miss Terry. Right? She fired me and said, I'm not dealing with your stuff anymore. So now I have to do it on my own.
Is Miss Terry his personal assistant?
Miss Terry is his wife.
Oh,
who I only know that Kemp Spin. From a quote many years ago in a book about Nick Saban. Now, I don't believe this was ever confirmed.
But is you saying Kemp Spin like Mino playing the Mino drop for himself?
Yes. maybe worse. But the excerpt
David
was,
Mino.
This is from a Nick Saban biography. Again, we don't have audio of this. Maybe he didn't say this, but it's a valuable life lesson. So when he references Miss Terry. This is in a speech, I believe, in the locker room. It begins, guys out there chasing pee, having all these kids, and then you come in here and try to play football. Ultimately, it's a distraction. Ultimately, you don't want to be out there chasing after midnight. If you haven't locked it up by midnight, it's not worth it. At this point, Saban paused and shuffled on his feet. The color had risen in his face. His players had no idea what to expect next. Ultimately, you never want to sleep with anybody who has less to lose than you do. So ultimately, if I'm ever going to sleep around on Miss Terry, it's going to be with Hillary effing Rodham Clinton.
Okay.
So that's when I learned who Miss Terry was.
Fairly wise.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
So
you want to both have something to lose.
Miss Terry got tired of dealing with Nick Saban's email, and he now says he has an email address because I guess Alabama, the state, and, you know, the university are having to communicate with him so much now, and it became too much for her to just have to put up with all his nonsense.
Where's that rank in bad ways to refer to your wife? Like, certainly calling her mother is the worst.
I could do you one worse, and you had a really close call today, and it ended up really smooth move for you when your wife came up here, and I don't think she knew I was here yet, and you just got a basic term, nothing along the lines of when TC...
Well, she said, hey, love.
Right.
She'll call me love.
Love is a very... That's
say what, hon?
That's cool. That's fine. I don't feel too G saying it. But once upon a time when TC was running the board for your Dallas Stars postgame show, and I wanted to let you know that there were some callers on the line, but also wanted to let his wife know that he'd be home soon and texted you, home in a minute, bunny.
Yeah, he called me bunny.
Bunny may be above Miss Terry.
Probably told her Steve and Carrollton was online.
Tired of garbage. So elsewhere in the college football COVID corner, two guys that you absolutely could have seen stepping in this. Oklahoma State's Mike Gundy and Clemson's Dabo Swinney. Dabo, for his part, both of these guys gave Zoom teleconferences to reporters I don't think that they're public. There's a couple clips out there, but the full calls were not made available to the public. But the upshot of both of them are the same. And in Dabo's case, he is a he's a very religious guy, and he references his faith a lot, and he references the country a lot. Frankly, I'm trying to say that the guy is leaning into rock, flag, and eagle, and the cross at just about every opportunity. And I'm not hating on that, but we're in a time now when it comes to how to prevent this thing from spreading, where I'm not sure that just a hope is going to get it done. You need action as well. And on this call, Swinney said, "My preference is let's get to work and let's go play. That's the best case scenario. I think that's what's going to happen. I have zero doubt we're going to be playing. I think the stands are going to be packed. The valley's going to be rocking. I don't have any doubt. I mean, this is America, man. We've stormed the beaches of Normandy. We sent a car and drove around on Mars. We walked on the moon. This is the greatest country, the greatest people in the history of a planet. We created an iPhone that I can sit here and talk to all you people in these different places. Listen, we're going to rise up and we're going to kick this thing right in its teeth, and we're going to get back to our lives." And you could possibly construe the message that the way he's wording that there is saying everything's going to be fine, when you might want to hear, hey, just be as safe as possible. We'll get to this football when we can. It's going to be uncertain right now. Maybe we'll have it back on time. Maybe we won't. But it's not a weakness if we don't. We're just all trying to fall in line here.
Yeah, this is a fine line thing, because I do want hope, and I believe that too, though. I believe we're America, and we're going to – and my thing when this started was, you know, our grandparents went through wars and had to die. We have to sit on our couch, and, you know, but this might take longer. That, I guess that's the thing. It's, you can't just say because we're America, but I think, you know, every city that's hit by a tornado or some kind of a terrible event, maybe it's 9/11 in New York City or the bombings in Oklahoma City, they always say, we've got the metal to get through this and rebuild and all that. You know, when Garland got hit by a tornado or mosquito or whatever it was, it's like we banded together like no one else. Everyone does. So you can't say you never have a city that goes, you know what, we folded. And, we just closed everything.
Pack it in.
But closing everything and packing it in is our fighting, you know, is what we're doing. Being smart about it, the way to get to the moon is using your brain. And, you know, so we if we have to close things down for months and not open college football right on his preferred date, well, that's what we do. That's why we're smart. You know, let's show that we are smarter as Americans than other dumb countries who thought they could fight through it. And it almost seems like the opposite is occurring, where we're like, oh, no, because we will things. It's just like that picture on Twitter when you highlighted when we were first getting this order, and someone in New York City is like, New Yorkers, they're a different breed, made of different little stock there when they're all in restaurants. Well, that's made of an idiotic stock if it's a virus that is unseen and you can't smell it type thing. You know, it's
yeah, and I think if you're Swinney,
but I do believe in that American message, and we're badass and we're better than everyone else, you know. And I'm
got to tailor it, though.
Yeah, but I'm thinking the scientists are working on this thing to bust it down. I like our scientists' chances, you know. But
I totally
it still
agree.
Might take
I just
how many months.
The way you phrase it is not to say, hey, I got one scenario. In fact, this is what he said. We're going to be in Death Valley in September. That's the only mindset we've got. All that other stuff, I'll let them other smart people figure out all them doomsday scenarios. I got one scenario, and that's running down the hill and kicking it off in the valley. Well, that makes it sound like if you don't start on September 3rd, that there's been some sort of a failure or you're disappointed. It just seems to me the answer is to say, hey, let's play this as safe as we possibly can. We'll get back to life whenever we can. The way to do that is to not have the mindset that you're going
to
be practicing on May 30th.
But you have to be prepared, and it's just like the ticket might have the compound still scheduled. You know, let's not bump it until we have to, right? You might think in your head it's probably unlikely we'll have it, but let's keep it scheduled on the books, and we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So if September he's got to rephrase things, at least he's ready to go in September. You know, he's kind of got his players working out if it's in home gyms or whatever it is right now, or lifting rocks or chopping wood or whatever they're able to do to stay in shape. They've, you know, we got to be prepared to be ready September 3rd. Now, you might think in your head, logically, that's, and he did say, you know, we'll leave that other stuff to the scientists and the medical people.
To the nerds.
Yeah, once they tell us in August that September's not realistic, well, then we'll reevaluate, but we're ready to go in September.
He also drew some heat on the same call for telling reporters that a couple weeks ago he took a vacation to Florida on a private plane, and he's planning to do so again this weekend for Easter. But I guess if you're going somewhere where there's literally no one there and it's a private plane, and maybe that's – and then the last one here
– he has the means?
Yeah. Mike Gundy –
but you might just want to not publicize that.
I would think so.
That's an option.
Maybe you're trying to get in front of it. I don't know. Mike Gundy made some similar type comments, just said, hey, look, we get people that get the flu during the year. It's not a big deal. You know, we quarantine them. From what I've read, the healthy people can fight this. The antibodies make it better. There's a lot of people who can figure this out. May 1st is our goal. Don't know if it'll happen, but players will come in after that. The university then immediately put out a statement after his comments went public and said, yeah, we're going to make that call. Not the football coach. They said, we will adhere to the advice of public health experts. We'll make informed decisions, the best interests of the citizens of our nation and state based on sound scientific data. So, you know, they're saying, that's cool. You're a football coach. Fire people up. We get it. But we're the government.
Yeah, and so, I think this is the way it should be. I think the football coach should say some things, but in the end, they are not the final word. And I don't mind them. They're the rah-rah guys. They're supposed to get us pumped up. And then, like you said, the nerds will be like, nah, we're not going to do that.